Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
All right, what is up, everyone? This is the Good Morning Liberty Podcast live at Freedom Fest in South Dakota. My name is Nate Thurston. To my left is Charles Chuck Thompson. And to my right, a guy that you might recognize, or at least his voice anyways, he's been on the podcast a bunch of times, Rob Chatfield, the CEO of Free to Choose Network. Rob, how you doing today?
Absolutely wonderful. Nate and Charlie, thanks so much for having me. And to meet you guys in person on site, I can't tell you what a pleasure this is for both me and your viewing audience today.
It's a real honor for us.
Yeah. You're so much, you're taller than I thought you would be.
I'm almost as tall as Charlie, actually.
There's some tall libertarians running around here.
We noticed, by the way, normally, like I, as I said, you know, I'm an above average height kind of guy. Around here, out in the West like this, you're like, there's some, I don't know if it's the cowboy boot heels, what it is, but there's I'm not the tall guy in the room.
Okay, so I want to first off, like Charlie just said, this is the first time this is going to happen. Okay, now normally when we speak, it's all we just agree on everything, and I have to say, we're going to have a nice talk about corporate welfare today.
Yeah.
And it's not, now we'll probably agree on the principle, of course. We will, because we agree on those. But I thought it'd be really fun to have a talk about the documentary, and maybe not the same kind of talk about the documentary that you were going to have, although we are open to everything, of course.
They haven't even seen the film yet. They're already complaining about it.
Oh, I watched it. I watched it, and I took down notes while I was watching it.
Marjorie's my PR person, sent you the film, didn't she?
Yeah,
what was she thinking?
Yeah.
That's a great film.
Yeah, it's well done.
It will debut. The worldwide premiere is here at Anthem Film Festival at Freedom Fest Saturday morning, so anybody who's in town can come watch it, and then it's going to be on September 5, public television. We just got the announcement today,
nice.
I believe 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but we'll make sure you get that for your podcast you can post onto.
Yeah. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I don't think that everyone who listens to our podcast will even agree with our standpoint on this, but you know, before we get into that, why don't you let everyone know exactly what this is covering and the purpose behind it and all that.
So corporate welfare, where's the outrage? We really were looking for an issue that the left nor the right can own. So that was actually the premise for this, was this, what are some issues out there that are just where both sides are wrong? And so we came across this issue thinking this would be a pretty nice place to start to. If you think about wealth redistribution, income inequality, those are hot button issues. I have yet to see anybody say, you know, the poor and the middle class, they really ought to be supporting the rich even more. And I think that was sort of the premise behind the concept for this here.
Yeah, so we've always been, and you know, I think Charlie agrees with this too. We don't like taxation. Itself.
No. Mm-hmm.
You might agree with that also. I don't think the taxes are an overall good thing, really. Especially, I don't like taxes on businesses. I don't like taxes on production.
Correct.
At all. And so when it comes to corporate welfare, could you tell us exactly what you mean by that? Are you talking direct money, reductions in taxes?
A little bit of both. And
okay.
I want to start with, A, we wanted to change the narrative. The film is called Corporate Welfare on Purpose because we want to call it what it is. People, I'm trying to get rid of a certain phrase out there. So I might use cronyism or I might use corporate welfare, but I'm never going to use that other phrase that's out there ever again. And the reason for that is it's government doling out some favor to somebody. And if you look at it from that angle, that's the exact definition of welfare.
I do agree with that. Charlie, where are you at on this?
Yeah. I guess I could tell you what I believe, which is Nate alluded to it there, which is if you look at the bottom of it all, one of the first principles is you own yourself, right? And we believe in personal property rights, okay? So I come from the standpoint of if we think or believe that taxation is theft or whatever you want to say, even though we probably will never get rid of them, then the way I look at corporate welfare is if a government is taking money, taxes, from regular people or even small businesses or middle-sized businesses and then handing a check over to a larger corporation, then I'm definitely against that. But if the government makes a deal with Amazon or IKEA or whoever and says, hey, we're not going to collect property taxes for 40 years, I can't get mad that IKEA was able to avoid the theft.
IKEA should absolutely do that. But who really is paying for that? The fact that they're not collecting the taxes essentially means that as the tax levels rise, everybody else is going to pay for that. In the IKEA story within the film, by the way, in Memphis, Tennessee, the powers that be decided they were going to give IKEA a tax break for coming there, and IKEA was going to have a certain number of jobs created at a certain level of wages, and that's always the plan, if you will. This is retail, folks. If you need a subsidy to start a retail business, something is absolutely wrong with your business model. But power to IKEA. If they're going to hand me the money, I should probably take it, right?
But okay, so let me ask you, if can we call a reduction in the amount of theft that is happening? Can we call that a subsidy? Is it a true subsidy?
Absolutely. In this particular instance here, and I'll go right back to this case story here, you literally had a furniture store in that town that went out of business. Because IKEA came in, people bought X amount of furniture from IKEA that they didn't buy from one of those other stores. Guy lost his business. We feature a couple of those stories within the film. One company's still around. They're still doing better. They pay more. They employ more than IKEA does. But they got to subsidize IKEA.
And so IKEA puts this company out of business. And the idea would be, if you're a fan of corporate welfare, the subsidies, that if they wouldn't have done that, then IKEA wouldn't have moved into Memphis, potentially. They wouldn't have moved into Memphis.
The concept, of course, is that if somebody's out there dangling an incentive for you, please come bring your business to my neighborhood there, then somebody else is going to compete against that and throw out a bigger carrot, if you will. And now all of a sudden you get these competing governments against each other. And I get what you're going for, by the way, Charlie and Nate both. You know, hey, if the tax level was zero for these people, but I'd want it zero for everybody.
Yeah.
And all
yes.
of a sudden now you're trying to pick and choose the winners. Literally, in this instance here, they were picking the store as a winner, as IKEA.
Yeah, and what I worry about with this.
All right, everyone, I want to tell you guys about our sponsor, BetterHelp. On this show, we talk about life, liberty, in the pursuit of meaning, and it's really hard to pursue that meaning if there's something getting in the way. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. This is an app. It's a site. You can download it. You can go to the website, and they will connect you with the therapist after they ask you a few questions. That way, they can pair you with the person that works best for you. And if you don't want that person, you can get another one, okay? Connect in their safe and private online environment. Super convenient, way more convenient than actually going to an office somewhere, sitting in the waiting area and talking to someone in person. You can do it. This is great for people that are really busy. This is not just a self-help thing. This is actual professional counseling. You can send a message to your counselor anytime. You get a timely, thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. It's more affordable than the traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. Service is available, by the way, for clients that are worldwide. So all you guys listening all the way around the world, they are there for you. If you are dealing with depression, stress, anxiety, something in your relationship, trouble sleeping, some trauma, are you mad about something, family conflicts, grief, self-esteem, anything like that, BetterHelp has got someone for you. Remember, it is confidential, super convenient, professional, affordable. If you don't believe me, you can go and check out the testimonials posted daily on their website. And remember, please remember, this is not a crisis line. All right, I want you guys to start living a happier life today. As a listener of this show, you get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/GML. Join the over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/GML. And now back to the show.
Okay. He's on the same side as Rob. John is.
Yeah, John is on. Actually, one
Manny
time.
Mota.
So, what's funny is John was originally, he was on the podcast and he got really busy with life in a bit. And one time we were recording an episode and we started talking about corporate welfare and we ended up having like a fight that night. not a physical fight, but we had such a disagreement that we had to stop recording the episode over it. It was really funny, and the episode never got released because he was so opposed to what Charlie and I were saying. But I know.
And here's the thing: we could be wrong. I'm willing to admit that. It's possible we're wrong.
As I said, I'm completely in the same chair as you with saying, you know what, if you're going to give that tax abatement to IKEA, you should give that tax abatement to every single retail store, existing and new, that comes into your place. Maybe you will become the retail heaven. You don't even know who'd come out of the woodwork to locate their place there. Give everybody the subsidy or give nobody the subsidy.
That's exactly what we agree with. Mm-hmm. Because, okay, so when we talk about the middle class and poor paying for the rich, we're making the assumption that the government has to spend that tax money, right? And so to me, that's where I think the logic breaks down for me, because I'm like, well, we don't have a subsidy problem. That's not the actual problem. We have an overpowerful, overspending government problem that needs the taxation, that wants to keep raising it, raising spending, and those types of things. If we're going to solve the root cause of the actual problem of where this entire corporate welfare narrative comes from, it's actually, I feel like we need to blame the right people. And in blaming the right people, that's government. It's not the corporations.
And that's actually
because corporations
issue.
Are just playing the game.
So one side says, well, no, it's big business. Big business is out there, and they're buying off government, and that's how they're getting the special favors there. And then the other side says, no, it's government. Government's too big, et cetera, so forth. And while they're pointing fingers at each other, both parties are putting the money in the pocket, mm-hmm. because the problem with corporate welfare is the beneficiaries are very few. And the costs are distributed so widely that you don't notice that it's costing you an extra 5 cents to go subsidize. And we keep using IKEA, so I don't want to pick that up too much there. But, you know, maybe they could assemble, you know, something.
If they were to put that deal in the subsidy that they would assemble all the furniture, would you then back IKEA getting the subsidies?
If IKEA could put together anything for me, because I'm about as useful with a toolkit as I won't even go into a parable there. So
I'll tell you where, because I know that we agree on the principles here, and so I just thought it would be really fun for us to hash it out.
Oh,
for
by
a little
far,
bit.
We should and, still continue yeah, on this one.
I thought it'd be fun, but I guess what I wanted to say is my problem with going on the corporate welfare thing is, I feel like we're, like Charlie said, we're blaming the wrong person, and maybe we're not. Maybe we're not saying it's the business's fault when we talk about things like this. But what I worry about is we're giving people a boogeyman, which is really these corporations getting out of taxes, and we're not actually getting down to the root cause of the problem. Instead, it feels like the solution to the argument, if we were to win the corporate welfare battle, would be that someone who wasn't paying taxes would now have to pay taxes. And I cannot make an argument that started with someone not paying taxes and ended with someone paying taxes. I can't, that's the only reason I can't get on it.
I think that's why it's your fault, actually, Nate. Now we can get into a good argument about this, all right?
Because there we go.
Yeah. You're the one paying the tax. And as I said, and if the tax burden continues to fall to the individual, but again, you know, we just parse it out a little bit at a time here, and you don't know who the person is that's the beneficiary on the other side of that. That's really one of the issues.
But like Charlie said earlier, that
the tax burden idea does make the assumption, one, that the government owns the money or the rights to that money, whatever percentage they arbitrarily decide, and that they must spend that money. And so when we say that tax cuts create a burden on the people who are paying the taxes, for instance, like the same thing said about Trump tax cuts, obviously, that this was going to cause the burden to go on the middle class or the lower class or whatever. And I can't, to me, it's still missing the mark, which is that we don't need to be spending the money in the first place. And so when we don't talk about the actual root cause of the problem, it feels like we're not really... we're not having the conversation with people that we need to be. We're telling them that this is a solution to it, but then we don't actually talk about what the real problem is, which is the taxation itself.
And I'll hit that one on a different topic, so we'll get off of IKEA for a second. But we talked about tax increment financing, and I'm going to use my hometown on this one. I won't give the name of anybody here, but somebody wants to build an affordable housing project in my town. And the project's terrible. I'll just throw this in. It's a terrible project. Like, we're going to put in a bunch of one-bedroom units so that young people can come here and live and work in the town. We have four businesses in my town. They're not hiring, you know, enough people to fill these apartments that are supposedly going to live there. But they want essentially to hold the taxes at the current level of property tax, even though the property is going to be improved, for X number of years. It's essentially $500,000 subsidy. Well, you could argue if they just bought the property and somebody else is just going to pay the tax level there, but we should be getting an increased level, and it really is money coming out of my pocket because they're going to raise the taxes. We can get into what's the level that the taxes should be all day long. Mm-hmm. But the moment they sit there and say, well, you know what, we're going to favor this one taxpayer over another taxpayer, I'm going to get pissed. And that's our concept for this film is that the individuals out there, why aren't they pissed? They should be pissed about the level of government spending in the first place, but they should be even more pissed when somebody else is getting favorable treatment compared to them.
Yes, and I get angry that as well. I am with you in your anger. I will sit here and be as pissed off as you are because that is legitimately unfair.
Charlie and I normally would pound the table three times within this entire podcast. We've completely been...
But let me do you like football or basketball better?
I'll go with football.
Okay, so let me draw a comparison to football, okay? So we've all said that, the football is a game, which is a game of life, right? And the government's the referee, right? They're just there to enforce the rules, and they also kind of set the rules. Like, they're the committee and the referee, right? And so if you have... the Monstars team, you know, they're all 6'7 or 6'8, 300 pounds, and they can run a 4.40, you know.
And they're good looking like Charlie and
they're
me.
They're good looking. You know? They have all the ladies, okay, or men, whichever way they go, doesn't matter. Okay. Now, let's say that they're playing, the John's Pee Wee team, okay? And then... The referees, like, well, you know, this just isn't fair. So, the score shouldn't be 0-0. It's actually, like, to make this fair, you know, to take the burden off of the Pee-wee team, the Monstars team is, you know, they have to pay their fair share of taxes, and they need to start at negative 49 points. So, to me, then that's like, well, now we're... Instead of actually saying, well, the real answer to that scenario would be that we should let the game play out, and we shouldn't be awarding or taking away points from anyone, right?
I will argue that the Monstars are actually getting plus 49 to start the game, and that's the real issue. I'm so glad
on the money line they are.
Yeah, I'm glad we picked the football, though, because we all know that, you know, basketball essentially is just pro wrestling and that the referees really are in charge of what the outcome is in the game.
Yeah.
So your football analogy, though, I think, as I said, what's happening is if you start 0-0, and let's agree that the Monstars are going to go crush them anyway, Why am I going to give the Monstars another 7 points or another 14 points? And where's that 14 points coming from? Even if I can make it appear magically out of anywhere, why would I give it to the team that doesn't need any advantage whatsoever? And I think that that's a component of the corporate welfare thing is as well, because the Monstars have, you know, they got the best reputation. They bring in the most TV revenue. There's, so we're going to treat them better than the Pee-wees.
And so part of that, this is another, let's say we were going to be city planners. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that we were going to be planners. And we were going to organize our property and make sure that we had the best economy possible. No, I don't want to be a planner, so I don't want to do that. But if you were trying to get the best possible economics for your city, and you were going to incentivize someone to come onto a piece of that property, and you needed to do this and make sure that you had good revenue coming in for a long period of time, or at least they were bringing a lot of jobs, would it be better to incentivize a company that was already well-established, that already had a really good reputation, really good branding, that you knew wasn't going to come in and then go out of business right afterwards, and you would be stuck trying to get rid of your property again, versus going for John's mom-and-pop shop? I'm saying, if you put yourself in the mindset of that city planner, would it be better to incentivize people who already have that reputation and the branding over someone who has a brand new company and you have no idea what's going to happen?
I'm a city planner.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
first of all, you know, so I've got to be a communist to begin with.
Yes,
so I'm glad we start with that.
That's going to be the mindset of a communist.
Start with the communism mindset right there. Yeah. Which am I going to try to do in terms of tracking stuff here to make sure that I have a stable base is what you're talking about for my economy there. And I get back to, I find the concept of, oh, I should pick this established business because, you know, for the long run, for my own benefit, by the way, I'll look like the hero because these people are going to be in town for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I really don't have a clue whether or not the established business comes in and says 2 years later, geez, we're not making it here. You know, you gave us that break that first time. Well, we can pack up and move somewhere else and go somewhere because they're going to give us a better deal over in that thing here. And I think you get in that mindset, and I don't think you can ever win on that call. And so for me, it's a matter of, and again, I'm going to go back to my hometown here because this is really a funny story, because now that I've told you about the subsidy that they want to give away for a TIF, we had a gas station in town. It was just sat empty for 3 years, dilapidated, and it was the entryway to the town. And a guy bought the building and says, I'm going to turn this into essentially a home improvement store. And it was going to look beautiful. And the town made him jump through hoops because it wasn't part of the planning process. That wasn't what that building was supposed to be for. And I think once you start even on that side to say, well, I'm the town planner, I'm going to tell you what to do and what you can't do around here, as it turns out, it's a wonderful, beautiful business. It's doing great. And the town planner still doesn't like it. But he was the mom and pop business that literally says, I think I can do something with that place there.
Really?
He's bringing in food trucks. I mean, there's all sorts of business that's actually going and glomming around this place that was never even part of the plan because as an entrepreneur, the mom and pop person, he's trying to just think of ways he can generate more stuff. So,
The other thing I wanted to ask about was, a really big one, farm subsidies.
Yeah.
Okay, that's obviously a massive one. Now, I don't know if we talked about this before, but I come from a family farm. That's what I grew up on. They've been farming since over 100 years now. But they've been
doing that
for a
while. We were farm equipment dealers in my family.
Really,
yes.
Really, that's awesome. Yeah, which kind of equipment?
Oliver. We had New Holland. We had white tractors. We didn't have John Deere, which is why we no longer have the business.
So. Yeah. Well, see, my family is very anti John Deere. They don't like John Deere. Everything's Case. Everything's Case everywhere. But I know a lot about what kind of farm subsidies there are out there, and now I don't agree with the actual farm subsidies in the way that they do that, except for in the case where I don't want anyone to be paying any taxes, so I really like that. But then they also do other things in that market, like 0% loans for farm equipment, which I think is completely made the price of the farm equipment go exponential because everyone can get no interest loans to buy all of it. But that's not what we're talking about right now. And so that's been going on. How do you unwind something like the farm subsidies? Because just say ethanol is such a major part of the economy and it touches everyone's lives, and you start unwinding those subsidies now so we could just agree that they need to be gone. how do you do that without really harming everyone at that point?
I would actually be happy with a 20 or 25 year plan on that one, sincerely, yeah. Because you're right, they've got the investment into the equipment, they've got all of the stuff planned out with regards to that there. And if you just said, you know what, we're taking and we're going to cut this thing in 25 pieces, and at the end of 25 years, there is no more subsidy for that, you know that they'll go figure out what's the most valuable crop for them to be farming from there.
Yeah.
As I said, to me, that's one of those classic no-brainers. But, you know, if we sit there and say, oh, we've got to take this one on today, we got to end this thing today, you're never going to have any political will for that anyway.
No. And it would actually be kind of bad for the economy if you did it rapidly, because everyone's just used to it. Now the prices have adjusted to it.
As I said, you've got your expectations. You've made long-term investments in equipment, et cetera, because of that there. And I think you've got to get that payoff out of the equipment, because that's what the government essentially is. As I said, you subsidize something, you're going to get more of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Rob, I have one more analogy for you.
Yeah.
Let me see if this will turn you. Okay.
I don't think it's going to happen.
All right. Rob is an innocent man. Okay. You're living in your town, just enjoying life, and you're innocent. But your town, because they have taxation, you and all your neighbors, well, you're in a prison. Okay. Everybody's in a cell, right? Because that's what taxation really is, right? It locks you down. You got to pay your property tax. Like, just imagine each tax you pay is a bar coming down. So you're stuck in prison. Okay. And then your town they called up Jeff Bezos, like, hey, if you put Amazon here, we won't put you in jail. Like, you can come live here, you won't be in jail, but you can put Amazon here. And Jeff's like, oh, so that's great. I would love to do that. Now, is that unfair? Yes. Completely unfair. And everyone in the town's mad because Jeff Bezos walking around, he's not in jail like everyone else is. Is the answer, he's completely innocent too, by the way, hasn't done anything wrong in this scenario.
Of course, I'd take advantage of freedom if I could also.
Is the answer to argue that the government needs to put him in prison like everyone else? Or should the answer be that we need to figure out how to get everyone else out of prison?
Jeff, we're going to bring you to our town. I'm going to mirror this one back to you. I'm going to bring you to my town here. You can be the free guy in town because you're going to generate revenue in this town. Is that the bargain, if you will?
No, he's coming to town.
Is it just because it's Jeff and his name's Jeff? Because I'll give it, he's not Jeff Bezos.
It could be Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's Jeff John, all right?
Yeah,
it's Jeff John. it's just any one person coming into that town. They say, you can be free.
Yes.
What was the purpose and rationale behind making Jeff the free person? I'm missing that part.
They just decided that, hey, you're free. You don't have to pay the taxes. We're not going to charge you property tax. We're not going to do any of those things to you.
Yeah.
Because we love you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, completely unfair. I get it.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But what he's saying is the answer, the solution that we need to make the argument that he needs to be put in prison.
Because I don't think he's going to come to town, though, if he knows he's just going to go be put in prison. I'm trying to make the analogy a better analogy, by the way.
But all the towns are like this.
So every town is
every
like
town
everybody's
is like
in prison because we're all in prison here.
Because we're all paying taxes.
One guy, because of a vote of... I'll use Bill Cosby instead of him, all right? I'm going to use Bill Cosby because I think this is a better analogy, honestly,
all right?
So Bill was in prison, and Bill gets out of prison. Nobody really wants Bill in their town.
That's right.
Because of what Bill has done in his past life, which is tell bad jokes and sell Jell-O pudding, right? Should the entire town get together essentially and pay to send Bill out of town?
I wouldn't want them to do that either.
I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't want to.
Honestly,
would
not.
But see, now I got this voluntary component here where everybody's actually saying, you know, I will even take less freedom. Give me less of my ration of meat that I'm going to have today. We'll sell off that ration of meat and we'll pay to get Bill out of my town over here.
Yeah.
And as I'm looking at that scenario, because if the scenario is, hey, listen, we're all in prison, but we really like, and I'm going to use Nate and Charlie. I really like Nate and Charlie. I would love it if Nate and Charlie got the heck out of Nashville and moved next door to my house. And if we could take up a collection, those guys could just live next to my house and not have to pay any money whatsoever, I'd lead that charge. I really would. Even if it meant that I had to pay for that myself, if I really liked those guys. And my whole town liked you guys. They said, yes, we're willing to do that. So from that perspective, if they said we want one person to be free while the rest of us are in jail, and the people are willing to pay for that, my whole point on this corporate welfare is that the people really don't want to pay for this stuff, but they don't know that they're paying for it. And in your analogy there, as I said, I think the people are making that conscious decision. We would like to pay for this. It's going to cost us more, but if we're going to give this benefit, we would like to pay for that benefit. So, I would hope it's unanimous, by the way. I would hope it's not just a majority decision, that it's a unanimous decision that, that, as I said, you know, 75 people in prison says, we're going to let Jeff free because we like Jeff here. I think that's an okay decision because they've all voluntarily done that.
And I guess
what if they all voluntarily decided to put Jeff in prison so that it was all equal?
Bezos should go to prison because of that.
But he, in this scenario, he's completely innocent.
Yeah, he's completely
innocent.
That way
we're all equally in prison.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we shouldn't have used Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
I think that's
that
where
this actually
whole
the
thing
problem
went
on.
Jeff John.
Jeff is John. Okay, so aside from the disagreements,
this is the deepest philosophical discussion that's happened on Good Morning Liberty
in
497 episodes. There's four or five that are actually better than this.
Except for the ones where we were hammered drunk. I'll tell you that. Those were very deep and so terrible they couldn't be released. I'll go ahead and tell you that. So aside from the differences, what I would like to know is how solving this problem, first tell me what the solution to this problem looks like and how that would actually make the lives better for everyone. Because I need you to get me on board with this, man.
I appreciate that there. I think the first thing is just awareness. I think people do not know that literally that they're subsidized and that it is coming out of their pocket. And again, argue all we want between us here. We all agree on the level of proper level of government in terms of what government spending ought to be. But most people out there really have no clue that they are actually paying for this because it's pennies out of their pocket while somebody else is getting hundreds of thousands of dollars. And how is that person getting the money? Essentially, if I were a business person, and I could spend $10 on lobbying and get $100 back, I'd do that all day long because it's a great return on investment. But who's paying for it? And I think that's the real issue there. Again, for me, building awareness has got to be number one of people just knowing that this is an issue. Because until they think that they can do something about it, it's going to continue to go on. It's going to continue to grow. And the size and the spending is going to continue to grow. Who are we kidding?
Let me hit you with one more old school phrase.
Yeah.
Okay? This is really taken back, okay? Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right?
Mm-hmm. Look, Tom Brady might have deflated a ball or two. It doesn't mean football's a bad sport, right? And capitalism's like that. That's my whole point about capitalism also is most of the players, in terms of who benefits from corporate welfare, it mostly benefits bigger corporations that can afford to pay the lobbyists to get that return on investment. All right? If I own that mom-and-pop business versus the large company there, I can't afford to go out and get that. And it's not even in my best interest to get that.
It's almost like a new achievement that you unlock after you become successful enough.
Right.
You know, you become big enough and maybe you can buy enough in bulk that you can lower your prices and you can be more competitive and some people go out of business and then you make a little bit more and you can expand and keep getting bigger and bigger. You keep unlocking these levels and eventually you get big enough that you expand into the level where you can actually get the government to stop taxing you.
Right.
So that's really, it's like achievement unlocked at that time. No more taxes.
Oh, did I mention, by the way, the person in my town that wants the TIF is actually part of the richest family in the entire town.
Really?
And as I said, and that's, I think, the thing that might even gnaw on some people is it's not, you know, we're getting the, oh my gosh, they don't want affordable housing in this town. No, we just don't want to give somebody a tax break that probably doesn't need the tax break.
Yeah. Right. Okay, let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Did you see recently that Peter Thiel has an IRA account that he started with $2,000. It's ballooned up to $5 billion because he's made some good trades or investments or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Perfectly timed trades.
Perfectly
on companies.
Timed.
0.1 cent basis on his stock that he put into the IRA. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. So, and now, do you think that that's unfair? That he's subsidizing the rest of the American taxpayers because
They're subsidizing him.
Or they're subsidizing him, and he's not paying tax on that $5 billion because he played by the IRA rules, and then we should take some of Peter Thiel's $5 billion because the rest of the American taxpayers are paying into the coffers, and we have to spend that money. Should we take Peter Thiel's money?
I was going to use almost that exact same phrase. You know, he's going to have to spend that money at some point. And I think Peter Thiel is going to be able to spend that money better than any government bureaucrat.
Mm-hmm.
Just my own opinion, by the way.
So we shouldn't take it.
We should not take it. And the film, by the way, it has a sister publication. There's a book out called Welfare for the Rich by Phil Harvey and Lisa Conyers. And so I do want to give them a plug on this one here, because in their book they talk about the charitable tax deduction. And they say, obviously, this is also, I wouldn't call it corporate welfare. This is more like welfare for the rich. You know, who takes the charitable deduction? Somebody who's rich enough to be able to write checks to charities. And I, of course, run a nonprofit, and I'm the beneficiary of this here. So I'm not a disinterested party with regards to this question. But I think the point that they make in the book is, I would rather have somebody actually write the check to the charity than just give that money to the government, because the person writing the check to the charity has to go ahead and do the work and figure out how they want to spend that money, how they think that money is going to do the best amount of good. Even if they're completely wrong, they'll pay the consequence for giving the money if they were completely wrong.
And they'll, more than likely, whoever you give it to is going to do a better job than the government spending the money.
Almost always.
And if they continuously do a terrible job, then eventually they won't be able to get people's money anymore.
As I said, somebody could abscond with the funds. He might give somebody $1 billion and they could go abscond with the funds and go to New Zealand and start themselves a new country somewhere. I don't know what, but as I said, so he could get burned giving away his $5 billion IRA. But at some point, he has to give that away. And whether he's giving it to his family, giving it to somebody else there, I think Peter makes a better decision than just handing it to a bunch of government bureaucrats.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't.
See,
we're back to the love fest.
There we go.
We want everyone to be out of the taxation prison, and so I it's that hump I can't get over, which is when I see someone not paying taxes, I'm like, good for you, man. It's like I'm on the other side of the gate, and I just saw someone pay off the guard, and the guard let him go, and I'm like, good for you, man. I'm not going to argue that they need to chase after you and bring you back in. Maybe they're going to beat me a little bit more now that you're gone. But it wasn't right for you to be in here either, and yeah. I'm happy for you. That's how I feel when I see it.
The prison analogy is a good analogy, by the way. We're going to have to work on that one. I can't wait. I'm going to be in Nashville in September, so okay. I'm already
yes.
planning my
okay.
next visit.
Very nice.
And the film will be out on television by then. So as I said, we'll have even more. It'll be part two of this deep yeah. philosophical.
And also, I want to say, whether you agree or disagree, you should watch the film.
Yeah.
As I haven't watched all of it. Nate did.
I watched the whole thing knowing that I was going to be in disagreement for a while.
I haven't had that chance, yeah. but I think you should still watch it. And then the greatest thing about liberty and freedom is you can draw your own conclusions. Rob and John could be completely right. And Nate and Charlie could be completely wrong, or it could be reversed.
Probably.
Who knows? Yeah. He said probably. but the cool thing about this is you're bringing light to the situation, because a lot of people don't know. I mean, every single stadium in your town, by the way, paid for with taxpayer money, usually. And that's actually where you see the government actually give away money, like an actual check, mm-hmm. which I don't agree with that at all, 100% against that. But they also get they get the actual check, and then they get, you know, the tax breaks and all that. So to me, the government handing over the check is actual. That's an actual subsidy. That's an actual transfer of wealth. Like, I took from Nate and the rest of the town, and I handed it to Bud Adams, who's no longer with us, but he was the owner of the Titans.
Right.
I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. So, as I said, I draw the line probably as you guys would also. You know, if your state says we have no income tax, we have no sales tax, and that's what your draw is, I don't mind the competition between the states or even the municipalities, as long as they set up one system and they say this is the system. It's a level playing field for anybody in terms of that classic equal opportunity, if you will. Never going to guarantee the equal results, but let's at least say here's the playing field. As soon as they step over and say, and we're really going to subsidize our dairy farmers around here. We're going to make sure that the dairy farmers, because they bring in the tourists, because people want to look at cows. As soon as you start to make that decision, then suddenly it's a bureaucrat that's made the decision, and it might be great for the town. Maybe people do like to see cows. I know I do. In my family, we go on vacation just to see cows. Buffalo here, by the way, instead of cows. But I mean, it's kind of the same concept, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, as soon as somebody who's a bureaucrat is making that decision, Most of the people don't realize it's coming out of their pocket.
God, and I can totally understand how you feel. I could feel that. I can feel the frustration, and I'm with you on that. I just, the mechanism of solving the problem, I think, is that might be where we disagree. But, you know, I hear there's a great state that doesn't charge corporate income tax. There's no state income tax, and they run everything. I found out this out last night, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Off a 4.5 cent sales tax.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's South Dakota.
Great. If more people had discovered South Dakota before this.
It's South Dakota. And
they probably have
a bunch
higher taxes.
They might even get another electoral vote, okay?
Yeah. Apparently a bunch of businesses and stuff are moving here, though, from what I hear.
Now, what I was going to say is a really good thing about the documentary, by the way, though, is even if we disagree some, people are learning that the government is involved in all of this.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that is a really big thing that people need to know.
And there's a lot of corruption.
Yeah, whether or not they agree or disagree on it, maybe they didn't know how big of a hand they had in the farming industry or in the oil industry in Louisiana, as you talked about in the documentary also. And that's when I was going to say, in my commie city planner hat, if I had that on, I wouldn't agree with doing that for the oil companies because they don't have anywhere else to go. So I don't need to incentivize them to come there.
Theoretically, I mean, as I said, they would move more operations somewhere else if they got the subsidy. But the concept there was that people became aware of the topic. And as I said, I think that's just the first step there. Build the awareness. Again, I'm not an activist per se, but this is one where I think people can get behind this and say, yeah, I'd like to do something in my hometown about this. And I want to point out, though, it's an unholy alliance. You know, we can point, libertarians like to point the finger and say it's because of government, the size of government there. And if they didn't have so much power here, well, there's rent-seeking behavior on the businesses also. And if all the businesses said, we're not going to pay you, we're not going to play the game, I wonder what would happen there. But somebody, of course, will maximize their long-term value by going ahead and playing the game.
There's something that we said on one of our very, this is like episode 2 or 3, we said this, the very, very early
unreleased.
On. It was released. It's on one of the episodes. But one thing that scares me is that if there's one thing you can get the left and the right and even some libertarians to agree on, it's a hatred for business and a hatred for corporations. And, I mean, really, you can talk to people on both sides and you guys can just all hate on the productive side of the economy as much as possible. And that's one thing that scares me about it is that it's you just said it's an unholy alliance and that it is easy to get people to look at the business and say that they're doing something wrong. And of course, you know where we are on it. This is the government's fault. Okay, that, like Charlie said, donate the player, hate the game, and they're the ones that set up this stupid game in the first place.
That's why I call it corporate welfare, because it comes from government. You can't have it without government as a player.
But you know, either way, the town folk are going to pay for it.
Yeah.
You want to know why? Because if they don't get the tax breaks, they can't lower their price. They're just going to include the taxes in the price of their product or service. That you know, corporations don't pay taxes. They don't, so it doesn't matter what you charge them.
That is a wonderful
it's
statement.
Just going to reflect.
Most people never have a con. I repeat that again because I think that's an important statement for anybody.
Corporations
to know.
Or businesses in general don't pay taxes.
It always goes back to the customer. The customer is always going to pay it.
Always.
Mm-hmm. That's
and in fact, what I get people to realize this is like when you look at your airline receipt. You know, so remember, they passed this 9/11 security fee and all this, and the airlines were going to pay for it. No. You look at your airline receipt. The government-imposed fees are included on your receipt, and they actually itemize them out for you.
I was just using the same example, actually, of Boeing does not pay a tax. Boeing sells an airplane to American Airlines, and American Airlines pays them. But how does American Airlines get paid? By selling tickets to the customer. It's the customer's always paying. So Boeing's not paying a corporate tax, neither is American Airlines. It's you and me.
Yep, that's right.
Absolutely. Rob, I am so glad that we got to meet you in person.
What a high note to end on.
And
I don't mean any illegal pompous score.
We are in South Dakota, so be careful.
Yeah.
I hate that the first time that we had to meet up, we had to fight so much about all of our disagreements. You know?
I'm going to sharpen my arguments now that I know that I'm going to get ambushed the next time I come onto the air. I'm just going to pick on podcast number 412. I'm going to go back to the archives for years and tell you where you were wrong.
There we go.
Either way, everyone should watch this documentary.
Thank you.
Like Charlie said, it was really good. It kept me engaged the entire time. So it wasn't entertaining. It was a lot of new knowledge, actually, a lot of things that I hadn't heard of before. And where can they go to find that?
So you'll be able to find it. It's going to be released on streaming on our website, freetochoosenetwork.org, August 28th. So you can actually see it on our website before you can see it on public television, although a public television station is free to program it on that same day as we're going to release it to the public.
That's awesome.
Update, how did the Thomas Sowell document, how's it going?
3.8 million views and counting on YouTube alone. And the best part about the Tom Sowell documentary is that the YouTube algorithm apparently doesn't know who we are. And it wants to make money because they're capitalist also. So they say, maybe you'd be interested in this next video. It's the Walter Williams biography.
Very good.
Maybe you'd be interested in this next one. It's the Milton Friedman biography.
Nice.
And so we have achieved over a million views on those two biographies as a result of the Tom Sowell biography.
That's amazing. I love that.
So
I love that.
That's another one. If you haven't watched that, make sure you watch it.
The Corporate Welfare is coming out August 28th. And then what else is on the horizon?
As I said, I was going to save this one for September when I see you guys there. I'll give you the sneak preview. Judge Douglas Ginsburg, who was the host of our three-hour series on the U.S. Constitution called A More or Less Perfect Union, has filmed two-minute responses to each of the 100 questions on the U.S. citizenship test to explain to people why each question is important. So not only can it be used in high school civics classes, but immigrants studying for the naturalization test for U.S. citizenship now have a video-based study guide.
That's awesome.
Can't wait to release that. That's going to come out September 17th on Constitution Day.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
I love it. Rob, it's a pleasure as always. And forgot to tell you to bring the boxing gloves instead of the guitar.
We should have had the still. It would have been okay there. Well, when you watch the video afterwards, you'd be like, Rob weaves and bobs. Oh, he knew there was a punch coming there somewhere. But that's it's not just ADD, folks. All right. Yeah.
Well, Rob, thank you so much.
Pleasure as always. And look forward to hanging out with you all weekend.
Awesome. Take care, guys.
All right, take care. All right. So, are you frustrated with the media? Are you tired of being fed the same news stories over and over again? One of the reasons we started this podcast is to give you a more well-rounded perspective on important issues.
That's true.
That is true. So our partners at Ground News are working to do the same, and boy, they are. It's really cool, actually.
Yeah, Ground News, so just so you guys know, this is a really cool app. I've got it on my phone. I've been using it for getting show notes for the show. We found out about this a little bit ago, and I'm really excited that we get to tell you about it now. But it's an app that lets you compare how a single news story is being covered across the entire political spectrum, okay? This is not just a news aggregator. It's a tool with tons of easy-to-use features that help you analyze the news so you can be confident you're getting the whole story. Unlike social media and other news apps, Ground News doesn't use your browsing history to manipulate your news feed. Their blind spot feature shows you stories that are underreported by both the left and the right. So it's this really cool app that we're going to ask you to go to through our link, that when you look at a story, it shows you how much it's being covered by right-leaning news sites, how much it's being covered by left-leaning news sites. Is it being covered by both of them pretty equally? And it shows you what the bias is overall, so you know what kind of bias you're getting from each one of these news organizations. It's a really cool app.
And you can pick up keywords like rare.
Mm-hmm, rare.
All right, so if you're the kind of person who's open to seeing multiple perspectives on controversial issues, then Ground News is for you. Check out Ground News by visiting ground.news/GML. That's ground.news/GML, or click the link in the description to download the free app.